Please turn again to Exodus chapter 33. In verse 11, at the beginning of this verse, we read these words. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Today I want to draw your attention to the subject, Moses, the friend of God. But just before we consider the subject, let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach God's precious word this afternoon. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we do pray now that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word that is open before us. And O God, we pray that as we would consider thy truth, that you would be pleased to take your word and speak to all of our souls. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be doers of thy word. O God, we pray for that word in season. We recognize, O God, that we need thee to come. We pray that you would come, Lord, personally to our hearts, that as we leave God's house today, that we might know that the Lord has spoken to us. And O God, as we go from God's house with God's word in our hearts and in our minds, we pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace to obey thy word. Help us, Lord, not to listen to others, but help us, Lord, to listen to thee. We thank thee, O God, for the speaking voice of the Lord. We pray today, O God, that you would speak clearly, and that you would speak loudly, and that you would speak personally. Fill us now afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. What a unique relationship Moses had with the God of heaven. For Moses to be called the friend of God must be one of the greatest blessings bestowed upon any man. Many in the Bible are described as the enemies of God. And certainly the children of Israel at this point in their history in Exodus 33 were not in a good relationship with the Lord. However, as far as Moses was concerned, he was on good speaking terms with the God of Israel. Because the Bible tells us here that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Tell me, men and women, how is your relationship with God today? Are you on good speaking terms with the God of glory? Is the Lord your friend, or is he your enemy? As we view this unique scene here in Exodus 33, we get another wonderful insight into the character of this great man, Moses. Not only do we see Moses at prayer again, but we see something of his heart's desire towards God. Indeed, in this conversation that Moses had with God, we learn a number of things about Moses. And very simply today, I want to leave them with you. And I do pray that the word of the Lord will bless and challenge all of our hearts this afternoon. Those of us who are saved, I believe that the Lord has a very clear message for our hearts today. And as we have come into God's house, I pray that we will not only hear the word, but that we will heed the word. And that the Lord will come personally to our hearts and to our souls and direct us in the way we should go. What do we learn here about Moses? Well, first of all, I want you to notice this. That more than anything else, Moses wanted God's way. I wonder, did you notice that as we read down this passage of Scripture. Look again with me at verse 13. Underline these words. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, here's Moses speaking, show me now thy way. Moses only desired the will of God for his life. The only thing that he wanted was God's way and God's path and God's will. He wanted only to walk in God's truth. He wanted to know the direction in which the Lord wanted him to go. That's what we learn there in that text of Scripture. Moses recognized that he had great responsibility. And so he had, leading the nation of Israel across the wilderness towards the promised land. Therefore, if he was going to be successful, Moses needed to walk in the path that the Lord would lead him. But this desire of Moses of wanting God's way was more than just desiring to know the way to the promised land. It involved also learning more about God himself. I wonder, did you notice that in verse 13? Look at the text again. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Underline those words. Moses wanted to know God more. You see, the truth is, child of God, when we learn God's way, we will learn more about God himself. And when we learn more about God himself, we will learn more about God's way and the path that he wants us to walk. I wonder, as we are gathered in God's house this Lord's Day afternoon, is this the desire of our hearts? More than anything else in life, do we desire God's way for our lives? Do we desire God's will for our lives? Do we desire more of God in our lives? The Apostle Paul was another man who also sought to walk in the paths of righteousness. Paul always desired God's way. And in Philippians 3 verse 10, Paul said this. It's another text of Scripture that you should underline in your Bible. Here's what Paul said. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Again, Paul emphasizes there that if the Christian wants to know God's way and God's path in life, they will want to know more about God himself. You know, you can neglect many things in life, child of God, but never neglect the greatest learning of all. That of learning God's path for your life. The first step, of course, is learning God's way and salvation. And there are many here in our congregation today, and you're not saved. And you don't walk in the path of righteousness. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. You do not desire God's way. Up until this point in your life, you only desire your own way and your own path. You only want to go in a direction that you want to go in. Therefore, the first step is learning God's way in salvation. And of course, there's only one way to God as far as salvation is concerned, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I would exhort you today, if you're not saved, to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon and begin to walk in the paths of righteousness. Of course, after we begin to walk in the paths of righteousness, after we're saved, we must desire God's way for daily living. And child of God, those of you who are trusting Christ as your Redeemer today and seeking to walk with the Lord and seeking the Lord's will for your life, then It is our desire day by day to seek God's will for our lives, to walk daily with the Lord. The sad reality is that many neglect, to their eternal tragedy, finding out God's way for their lives. And how sad it is that many refuse to take that first step, coming and trusting Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. But child of God, you and I have a responsibility day by day as we seek to walk on this earth below, to walk in the paths that the Lord would have us to walk in. Child of God, you can go in a wrong direction and lose everything. As far as the child of God is concerned. Now, when I say lose everything, of course, you can't lose your soul. Because once a man is saved, he's saved eternally. But you can lose everything else. And of course, the example that we have in the Bible is Lot. Lot was a child of God. The Bible describes him as a righteous man. And yet, the Bible tells us that Lot went in the wrong direction. Just keep your hand in Exodus 33 for a moment and turn over to Genesis chapter 13. Here we have Lot going in the wrong direction. We read there in Genesis 13 and verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Why did Lot go in this direction? Well, because he wanted good grazing ground for his cattle. Look what it says in verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And here we have Lot making a decision, and he's choosing the plain of Jordan because it was well watered. He was thinking of his cattle. He was thinking of his prosperity. But he's going in a wrong direction because he's going towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Just because a place looks prosperous doesn't mean that it's going to be prosperous. And it may be prosperous in many ways, but if it's not prosperous spiritually, then it's certainly not a direction in which the child of God should go in. And Lot chose the wrong direction to go. And we know the story. Because not only did he lose his wife and lose his testimony and lose his reputation, he also lost his cattle and his farm and all his worldly possessions. You see, it's so important, child of God, for you and I, as we live on this earth below, that we always seek the will of God in the direction that we should go. And here we have Moses. Moses, this great man of God, in Exodus 33. And his only desire, his only aim, more than anything else, he wanted God's way. He wanted God's path. He wanted the Lord to direct him. Did you notice how Moses sought God's way? Look at verse 13 again. Through grace, if I have found grace in thy sight. Moses here approaches God humbly, recognizing that he needs God's grace. And you know, child of God, as we seek to live upon this world, we need God's grace day by day to make sure that we take and go in the right direction. In Psalm 25 verse 9, we read these tremendous words. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he teach his way. Oh, I pray that before we make any important decisions, that we will seek the will of God, that we will seek the mind of God. Before, child of God, we go in any certain direction, that we will have the Word of God and the direction of God. So important that we know the will of God for our lives. And young people especially, planning your life, thinking of the future. So important. You're like Moses. Oh, would you not follow the example of Moses here? Here Moses is a good example to follow. Because as he gets down before the Lord in prayer, and you'll notice, let me emphasize it again, Moses here is praying and he's seeking the face of God. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee. So here we have Moses at prayer, and the reason why he's praying on this occasion is because he wants the Lord to direct him in the path he should take. And of course the Lord did direct him. And we have the benefit, of course, of knowing the end of the story, because Moses, under God, led the children of Israel safely across the wilderness to the very edge of the promised land. And Moses followed the path that the Lord laid out for him. Oh, child of God, when we follow the path that the Lord has laid out for us, we will not go wrong. We will not go wrong. Isn't that something that's encouraging to know? Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord, the God of heaven, has promised to lead us and guide us every step of the way? And even when we're not sure of the way ourselves, if we leave our lives in the hands of the Lord will not fail us. He did not fail Moses. And child of God, he will not fail us. I want you to notice something else, but take a look at Exodus chapter 33 again. You learn something else about Moses. More than anything else, Moses wanted God's way. But notice that more than anything else, Moses wanted God's presence. Because of Israel's sin of idolatry, when they worshipped the golden calf, the Lord had withdrawn his presence from the nation of Israel. We didn't read the verses, but take a look at verse 3 there of Exodus chapter 33. And you'll read these words. The Lord says, "For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." The Lord had withdrawn his presence from the nation because of their sin. Here the Lord tells Moses that because of Israel's transgression, he has now withdrawn his presence from them. You know, child of God, sin will remove the blessing of God from our lives. That's what we learn here. But notice, when Moses comes before the Lord, he pleads that God's presence would come again among them. Take a look at verse 13. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Look at verse 15. "And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Here we have Moses, and he's praying that the presence of God would be with him and also with the nation of Israel. Notice the promise of God to Moses at this time. Look at verse 14. "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Look at verse 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." In other words, what's happening here is this, that God again is promising Moses his presence as he begins to lead the children of Israel from this point on. Although they have sinned, and although God has judged them by withdrawing his presence from them, God now comes again and he promises that he will be with them.
Moses realized that he could not go on another step
without the presence of God with him. How could he lead the nation of Israel through the barren wilderness to the promised land if God's presence was not with him? And Moses wasn't willing to take another step.
Just think about that for a moment, child of God. Here's this man of God, and he's not willing to take one more step forward unless he's assured of God's presence.
The point that I want to make is this. Moses desired more than anything else God's presence with him throughout every step of life's journey. The great priority of Moses was to be in the presence of God. O child of God, is this our priority in life? To be in the presence of God day by day? Child of God, let us pray for God's presence with us every moment of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, as we live upon this scene of time, because we need God's presence with us to lead us and to guide us. And God does answer prayer. As I have said, this promise was given to Moses in answer to prayer. Thank God the Lord does answer prayer. But what do we learn here? We learn so many things. First of all, God's presence with Moses indicated that Moses had found grace in God's sight, and that the children of Israel had been forgiven for their sin. God's presence also with Moses and Israel indicated that they were a separated people and that they were different from all the other nations around them. Indeed, that's what we learn there in verse 16. Also, God's presence with Moses and Israel meant that they had the protection of the Lord. The Lord was going to look after them and protect them. Also, God's presence with Moses and Israel meant that God would bring them safely to their destination. Take a look again at verse 14. We have emphasized this already. But look at the latter part of verse 14. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The rest there speaks of Canaan, the land of Canaan. I believe the Lord there was assuring Moses that he was going to be successful in bringing the children of Israel right through to the promised land. And although, as we're going to find out in these studies, Moses himself did not get into the promised land because he failed the Lord, and we're going to say more about that in the weeks that lie ahead, God was going to bring the nation of Israel safely to the promised land. Deuteronomy 3 and verse 20, we read, "Unto the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall ye return every man into his possession, which I have given you." There again the Lord is emphasizing that the rest that he's promising is getting into the promised land. Oh, how important, therefore, the presence of the Lord was. And Moses recognized this. Child of God, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is with us? He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can and do have his presence no matter what our circumstances are in life? Child of God, the Lord will bring us safely to the end of our destination. He will bring us safely to heaven. But you can see here the desire of Moses. You can see here what this man wanted more than anything else. He wanted God's way more than anything else. He wanted God's presence more than anything else. Is that what we desire in our Christian lives? As we live upon this earth, when we get up in the morning, when we pray,
Do we pray and cry unto God, Lord, lead us in thy path? Lord, give us thy presence. Oh, I pray that we might know in this 21st century what Moses knew all those many, many years ago. But notice something else here. Take a look at Exodus chapter 33 again. And you will notice, thirdly, that more than anything else, Moses wanted to see God's glory. Not only did he want God's way, not only did he want God's presence, but he wanted to see God's glory. Look at verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Seeing God's glory involves seeing the person of God. And Moses prayed for this. And God answered the prayer of Moses again. Take a look at verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Here's how the Lord is going to show Moses his glory. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, underline that, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft, the cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Notice Moses saw the glory of God as he stood in the cleft of the rock. Men and women, we can see the glory of God when we stand in the rock. The rock speaks of Christ. Christ is the rock. The glory of God can be seen in Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful text of scripture over in 1 Timothy 3. Turn over to it, underline it. I'm sure that the most of you know the text well. But look what it says. Here we have Paul writing to Timothy. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is what he says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, speaking of Christ, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Oh, praise God when the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth and was born in Bethlehem's manger. He was and is Emmanuel, God with us. God's glory is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, we read these words, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 we read, for God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you know Christ, you know God. If you have seen him by faith, you have seen God by faith. If he is your Savior, then God is your Savior. Oh, isn't it wonderful, all the spiritual blessings that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, what a glorious Savior he is. 1 Peter 5 and the verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. A partaker of the glory
which shall be revealed. O child of God, as we come to the end of our service this Lord's Day, are you like Moses? Am I like Moses? Are we like Moses today? More than anything else, we want God's way. More than anything else, we want God's presence. More than anything else, we want God's glory. God's path for our life, God's presence in our life, God's glory to be seen as we live our lives upon this earth. If we want God's path and God's presence and God's glory to be seen in our lives, then we will want to live according to God's word, and we will want to follow the instruction of God's word. And of course, that's what Moses did. He followed the Lord as the Lord guided him. I fear today that there are many of God's people and they do not seek God's will for their lives. They want their own will and they want their own way and they want to go in their own direction. They do not seek God's glory and they do not seek God's presence. My friend, it will mean shipwreck to you, child of God. It will mean shipwreck. And Lot is the example. Oh, I pray that each and every one of us here today will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't take a step in any direction without the guiding of the Lord, without the leading of the Lord. Don't go and walk in any path without knowing first that it is the Lord's will. That's what we learn from Moses today. That's what we learn from this man of God today. May we follow his example. My friend, if you're not saved, you need to take that first step. And you need to come and accept Christ as your Savior. Not because I say you need to do that. Because the Bible says you need to do that. Because God says you need to do that. Because there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way whereby you and I can escape hell. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. By accepting Him as our Savior. You need to know Him as Savior. Will you come to know Him today? Will you pray the sinner's prayer? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. If you do, the Lord will have mercy upon you and save you. Let's all pray.